lights are bright up here. I don't think I need glasses. Thank you, Ken, for that introduction. Thank you, Teresa, for that song, beautiful song. Sometimes I'm thinking, like Dr. May, I'd want the music just to keep going. But thank you for allowing me to speak tonight and bring a message. The message I have tonight comes out of the book of John, chapter 5. It's a special message. It's a time where Jesus is healing a crippled man. If I had a title for this message, I would title it, Rising Up Through the Strength That Christ Gives. John chapter 5, and we'll look in verse 1. After this time, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, of halt, and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this scripture. We thank you for this beautiful story. Help us, Lord, to glean from this story the truths that you have. Help us, Lord, speak to our hearts through your word. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. As I see this story, John reminds us that Jesus went to Jerusalem at least three times, possibly four. We look at this story and Jesus seems to be alone. It's kind of unusual. Most of the time when we look through the Gospels and we have a story like this, Jesus is traveling with one of his disciples or all the disciples and he's talking to them. But here Jesus is alone wandering through the crowd as he looks and is doing the will that God has him to do. We see that Jesus always is obeying and the laws that he created. The Jewish Levitical laws of the day, he's always going to the feast. This feast is probably, many believe, the Feast of Pentecost, which is probably 50 days after the Passover, which we celebrate as Easter. So he's here and he's showing people that God's laws are important and to obey. We see that he goes by a sheep gate. And this pool, Bethesda, is not far from this sheep gate. Now, why in the world would they have a sheep pen close to the temple in that area? Well, of course, some people like to eat and they want sheep, but really, a lot of visitors would come during this time and they wouldn't have a sacrifice. And so this is the time they could buy sheep or they could buy a dove or a bird or any other kind of animal and take that to the temple as their sacrifice and to do what they need to do. So here he is. He's going and Jesus has a plan. He has a purpose. He's going to meet this lame man. It's not by accident. Jesus knew this person was lame. And this person had a divine moment in time to meet Jesus. You know, when I look at this story, it's a story of God's love and God's grace. God is always working on our behalf. God is always working on our behalf. I think about that. Look at verse 17. Jesus had already answered the Pharisees. They had asked him, why are you healing on the seventh? And why are you doing this? And he says, My father worketh. Hitherto I work. We see God working. He never stops. We see he has a plan. If I were to look in Luke, Jesus picks up the scroll in the Nazareth synagogue. And he tells the people what his job is. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus came to save us, to seek and save the lost. He never stops working. He's always doing the Father's will. Even I remember the story of Joshua in Joshua chapter 10. God was fighting this battle for Joshua and the Israelites against the Amorites. And Joshua said, "We don't have enough time, Lord. Make the sun stand still. Give us a little more time." And the Bible said he did. He gave them a little bit longer in the day. God's never asleep. He's always working. We see that God's angels are before His throne continually in Revelation 4, chapter 8, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and who is to come." We see His handiwork in the creation story. God is a working alive and is wanting us to join in His plan. He has a plan for eternity. All throughout this Bible, the Bible tells us that He has set eternity in the hearts of man. He is constantly working to bring His plan together for us to know and see. He asked the crippled man, "Will you be made whole?" What a question. Why would He ask such a question? Jesus got to the point. You see, He didn't preach a sermon to the man. He didn't give him a lecture on sin and why he should be this way. He didn't ask him how many fish there was in that pool. He just said, "Will you be made whole?" You see, God knew his heart. We don't know what was in the man's heart, but God knows all of our hearts. Can you imagine God walking through that area to the pool and every thought that everybody could think, Jesus knew them. He knew everybody's heart. He knew everything they had done wrong. He knows us today. I can't imagine having all that knowledge walking around knowing who everybody already is and what they really think about you. That has to be hard in and of itself. But Jesus could do that. And to think about how much grace that Jesus would have with all that knowledge of knowing what people really thought about Him. Or what really people thought. But the Bible reminds us that in 1 Samuel that God does not look as man looks on the outward appearance. He told Samuel as he was choosing David, he says, God looks on the heart. Maybe this man, after 38 years of lying there, maybe he'd just given up hope. Maybe that's why Jesus asked him that question. Sometimes we tend to give up when we can't find an answer or we can't find people to help us with certain problems. And this man certainly was needing some help and wanting anybody to help him. He was lame. 38 years. I guess I would probably give up too. And Jesus was almost asking, "Hey, there's hope. Do you want hope? Do you want change?" Maybe Jesus knew, because He knew this man's heart, that this would be hard change for this man if he was healed. He had been in that condition so long. He would have to walk and take a responsibility of a job. Everything would change for this man if he was healed. Maybe Jesus knew that this crippled man would have to start all over in life. He'd been there all that time, but he'd have to start over. And maybe this story has a little bit to do with about starting over in life. You know, as I'm not very old, 53 years old, but in the time that I've lived, I realize that life is about falling down, failing, and picking ourselves up. And this story is about that. Starting over. Starting over when we don't, at times when we don't seem to see a bright future sometimes. Starting over when we don't seem to have the help that we want. But this story is about trusting in Jesus and trusting in Him for the help that we need. Why did Jesus ask? You know what's amazing is that Jesus even asked the question. It's amazing that Jesus was even there in this divine moment. You know, it's a question that the Lord would ask us as well. Will you be made whole tonight? Will you be made whole tomorrow? Will you listen to God's Word, follow His instructions, obey His commands, trust Him for the change in life He wants to bring about? I believe every morning, every day that God allows us to live is a day that we can have a positive change, a day that God can recreate in us a new heart. I like what He says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The crippled man did just that. He believed in what Christ said. Let's go on a little bit more, but let's look at his answer after Jesus asked him the question. Jesus said, "Will you be made whole?" And the impotent man answered, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." It's like the man was saying, I just can't seem to get life down. I just can't seem to get healed. I just can't get, even when somebody comes and helps me, I can't get to the pool in time because somebody beats me there, and I just can't seem to get life together. I just don't know what to do. And he keeps making excuses, and he's looking at earthly ways of getting to that pool. And Jesus tells him, he says, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." The man says, "I've got to get to the pool." And Jesus says, "Forget the pool. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is right here in your presence." And I believe Jesus tells us that sometimes. We look at things. I know I do sometimes. Sometimes I'll look at answers to problems through a microscope. I'll look at what can happen down here on this earth and what earthly answers there are. And then that's a good to do. We need to keep looking for answers for things. But sometimes God is wanting us to take a big telescope and look into the heavens. The Hubble telescope, whatever. And remember that there's a heaven. And God is from heaven. And God has a lot of answers for us when we don't have any answers. The lame man didn't even have to pray. This was all about the Lord's doing. The miracle of this story is that Jesus came to him at all. The crippled man wanted and only saw an earthly way to be healed, but God made a heavenly way for him. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 that His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher as far as the heaven is from the earth. His ways are so much higher. Let me read that. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This story reminds me to when we're dealing with struggles and the temptations and the things of life, to remember to keep looking up, to remember to keep looking toward heaven, because God is in heaven and God loves us and He cares for us. God's timing is all with this. This miracle would bring glory to God. God created this lame man knowing that he would be lame, knowing that there was going to be a time where he would come and heal this man. Look at what the scripture says. When Jesus saw him lie and knew, the Bible says that Jesus knew. Jesus knows everything about us, and he knew this man. The crippled man's life climaxed at this divine moment in time. Isn't that amazing? All that 38 years he'd been suffering, it was worth it. I guarantee you, if you were to ask this crippled man, it was worth it to see Jesus and have Jesus heal him. Jesus is not only revealing God's love and mercy, but is revealing the spiritual world around us, His kingdom. I think about His kingdom. Ephesians 6 reminds us, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. To stand, that's what he asked that man to do. He said, rise up. What faith did it take for him to rise up? Think about that. That would have taken a lot of faith. I believe the Lord is asking us and reminding us that there's a great, powerful God who's just waiting to bless us and help us. And this story reminds us of that. It's as though Jesus was showing and telling. I don't know if you remember in elementary school, we'd have this time where we'd show and tell. And people bring all kind of things. And I brought a knife to school. And back then you could bring knives to school. And I remember one kid brought a little gerbil. And one person brought a little teddy bear. And, you know, one guy brought a turtle. And my brother said he just picked it up off the side of the road before he got to school. But, I mean, there's all kind of things, you know, people bring. And, you know, they'd be all proud of what they had to show. And every time somebody showed something, well, they'd have to tell about it. That was the whole thing, show and tell. And so, you know, a lot of times these things that people have, I have, we'd get them from home. We'd bring them from home. And our parents would give it to us, or our granddaddy or somebody like that. So they were important things to us. And that was the whole thing about show and tell. Bring something that's important to you. And I got to thinking about this, and I said, you know, that's what Jesus is doing. He's showing and he's telling. You ever thought about that? Look at the miracles that he does. He says, the Father, in verse 20, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Jesus is trying to show us a little bit about heaven, what heaven is like. He's breaking into our little world and saying, okay, let me show you just a little bit about what's going on in this world. We see in just in a little bit in just the book of John, John chapter 6. He takes two fishes and five loaves of bread and feeds over 5,000. And then he tells about it. He says, I'm the bread of life. We see in John chapter 9, he heals a blind man. And then he tells about it. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He goes on in John chapter 11, and he raises Lazarus. He's showing and he's telling. And then he tells Martha, he says, Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Martha, do you believe this? He's asking us, do we believe this? These questions are in the Bible for us, for me. We see Jesus on the cross. That's the greatest show and tell. He's showing the Father's heart. People were saying all kind of things about our Lord, and throwing rocks at Him, throwing things at Him, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's showing and telling God's love. And then we see Him resurrected. Once again, He's showing and telling on His ascension. Matthew 28:18, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I believe the Lord wants to show and tell and wants to show us so much. And that's why he told his disciples in the upper room, he says, hey, I'm going to a place. I'm going to prepare a place. There he is working again. For you, that where I am, there you may be also. I want to show you and tell about what heaven and about what God is really about. God is still in the miracle business today. He's showing and telling if we just believe and we look up to Him. I think about the faith that this man had to have. Jesus said, rise up. He didn't give him a big exhaustive list of things to do. He just told him to get up. Sometimes he comes to us and says, get up. I got work for you to do. I know it's hard where you're at. But have faith. Get up. Believe in the things that you don't see. And that's what faith is about. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the things not yet seen. It takes faith to get up when you hadn't got up in 38 years, doesn't it? But you know, every day we live, if God allows us, and we rise up every morning, and I think we have that decision to make. Are we going to rise up to serve God? Are we going to rise up to serve man? Or rise up to serve ourselves? And the Lord's been dealing with me on that lately. He says, what are you rising up for? Who are you serving this day? As I remember Joshua would say, choose you this day whom you will serve, when he was talking to the Israelites. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's people all around us who have trouble getting up. They're crippled, and not just their physical body, they're crippled in their mind and their spirit. And they need help. They need somebody to show and tell them about Jesus. They need you and they need me. There's people who have addictions. They just can't get up. They can't seem to get through life. They've fallen down, and they need somebody to show and tell them about Jesus. And we need to show them and tell them that Christ is powerful. And He's, as Paul would say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do we believe that? He tells the man to take up his bed. He didn't tell him just to rise up. He said, take up that bed. You don't need it no more. You're not going to have to lay around anymore. And you know, that's symbolic for us when God heals us from something or some situation. He's saying, you don't need some of that stuff anymore. You don't need those things that hinder you. Take those things and pick them up and take them away. What are those things that hinder you? Only you know, and God knows sometimes. Sometimes your close friends may know what hinder you. Sometimes it can be how we think. Sometimes it can be bitterness, an unforgiving heart, hatred, a secret sin, a drug addiction. Sometimes it's just too much time spending on entertainment, not enough time spending on God's Word. But there's so many things that can enable us to be defeated if we're not in God's Word and letting God work through us and help us in this life. Jesus is calling all of us to take up our beds. Take up our beds and walk. Walk. You know, that's the hardest thing he probably could have asked the crippled man. It's one thing to ask him to stand, because, you know, the Lord could have helped him stand. And he could have probably helped him pick up the bed, but to walk, well, that's really a miracle. And you know, he's doing it a little bit at a time. He first tells him to stand, and then he says, take up those things that hinder you so you can walk. Romans 8, verse 1 reminds us that we need to walk in the Spirit of God. This story reminds us that we need to walk in the Spirit every day. We need to ask God to help us in that walk that He has for us. The hardest thing for the crippled man was to walk, but God helped him. There's two people that have come into my life in the last 3 years. Both have had addictions. One had an addiction. His name is Mike, and he worked for me for about a year. He had an addiction to meth, And his testimony is wonderful. He just, you can tell the love of Jesus is in him. He was in prison for a while, and he really was a great influence on me. After my wife's death, the Lord just kind of brought him along. And his daughter had passed away, and he had suffered many things. But his spirit was just overpowering sometimes. And I just thanked the Lord. I said, thank you, Lord, for bringing him into my life. But you know, he told me, he says, you know, very few people are able to break the addiction of meth. He said, there was nothing in this world that could do that for me but the power of Jesus Christ. And he has a testimony for that. And there's others. And there's others that you know. And in your own life, God has helped you with things. Are you walking? Are you turning to God for those things? Are we trusting God through prayer? This shorter university reminds me of a banner reminds me of a professor I had at Shorter, Dr. Joe Baskin. He was a religious professor. And he had been a missionary to Malaysia for many years, I think 12 years. Well, he had a doctor's degree from Princeton, so you know he really had his stuff together. And boy, you could ask him any question, and boy, he'd just pop it out. Ask him anything about the New Testament, he could recite things in Greek and Hebrew, just all kinds of stuff. But he said, I'll tell you, and he told us one time in class, he said, when I was in Malaysia, he said, those people believed in the spiritual world. They really did. They believed that spirits were all around them, demons and angels. And he said, when they had a prayer meeting, it was a prayer meeting. And he said, they would pray through somebody being healed. And he said, I saw a lot of miracles. But he says, you have to believe in that spiritual world that's all around. And I think this story lends to that. Believe in the spiritual world that God has, that He's provided for us. We may not see it, but it's there. And it's in our hearts. God has planted that in our hearts. I like what Paul said as he tells Timothy. He reminds us that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Are we walking in God's power? God is speaking to me through this same story. Am I walking every day in that power? Am I walking in the spirit that God has for me and not walking in fear? Am I walking in peace? Am I walking in love? How are we walking? How are we walking the life that Christ has us to walk? In that same book, Paul writes to Timothy that though he's in prison in Rome, he tells Timothy this. He says, Timothy, I know beyond a shadow of doubt. I know in whom I have believed in. And I am persuaded, Timothy, that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. What is Paul talking about? He's saying, I know that God, I know what He's done in my life. He's done things in your life. And this story kind of helps me to remind us God is working in our lives. He's working in this man's life. He's working in your life. He's wanting to bring us all in reconciliation to the Father to show us one day heaven and His kingdom. But Paul says, I know in whom I believed and am persuaded. What persuaded Paul? His life of falling and starting over. Falling and starting over and trusting Christ. Jesus would get him back up each time. He said, I'm persuaded that He is able. He's able. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to help us. He's able to do things through us, through our hearts, to keep that which I've committed. That's our faith. He's able to keep our faith. He's also able to keep those who passed on before. You ever thought about that? I know when my wife passed away, one of the first things I asked, I said, Lord, where's she at? And you don't think about things like that till somebody close in your life passed away. Where is she? And I'd cry out. And God had to remind me, she's mine. I've got her. He's not only able to keep you in this world and in His will, but He's able to keep you after this world. He's able to keep that which you've committed, your faith, unto Him against that day. And what is that day? That day is when we meet Christ at His throne of mercy and grace. What a story this is. It's an amazing story that Jesus would heal and become like us just to show and tell us all about God, and to show and tell us all about His love. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this beautiful story. Lord, I just ask that You teach us, help us every day to realize that life is so precious, and that You give us life every day to serve You Help me in that area. Help us all, Father, to trust in You and have faith in You and to realize that when we can't find earthly answers to our problems, there's always heavenly answers to those problems. Help us to rise. Help us to walk. Help us to stand in Your grace and mercy. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Thank You.